scripture reading is taken from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Victor. Friends, happy Christmas to you all. Oh, come on. Happy Christmas to you all. Yeah, that's better. That's better. My name's Ian. I'm one of the ministers here at St. Andrew's. And it's great to have you here. And it's great to be here. This is my first Christmas in Hong Kong. This is my Bartik clergy shirt, not Singapore Airlines. Exits are there, there, and there. Christmas surprises. What's your best Christmas surprise, kids? What's been your best surprise? Someone want to volunteer something that they got that was a surprise? Come on, kids, I know you're there. Adults. Where are they? Hello, hello. Happy Christmas. Yeah, I can tell you about my best Christmas surprise. It was when I was 8. It was a red dragster bike. This is before BMX, and it had a 3-shift gear. It's like it wasn't just using the handlebars. This was a cool bike. I've been hoping for one for quite some time, and my parents, very clever they were, we normally received our Christmas presents in a pillowcase, but a bike doesn't fit into a pillowcase. So they'd set up a quiz where I had to go from clue to clue throughout the house to actually find the bike, which was downstairs under the house. I remember it, even though it was a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, when I was much younger. But it was so special because I wasn't expecting it, and I wasn't expecting the long process to actually get to the bike. Christmas can often be full of surprises, good surprises, pleasant surprises. Not only gifts can be surprises, but events too, right? Imagine someone says, "I'm about to get married." That's a pleasant surprise. Or, "I'm about to give birth to a child." Or, "My child has been born." That's also pleasant surprises. But sometimes we can have unpleasant surprises too. Unpleasant surprises can be things which are sad, unexpected, like missing out on a job, failing an exam, news of cancer. Last Christmas that was, at a different church, we held a Christmas event, we invited church people, and someone from church stole my camera. How do you cope with pleasant surprises? Usually when they're good, we want to say thank you to the present giver. What do we do when they're unpleasant surprises? As a pleasant surprise, we held the same Christmas event this year at St. Andrew's, and I still have my camera. That's a very pleasant surprise too. The first Christmas is no different. There was both pleasant surprises and unpleasant surprises. Firstly, unpleasant surprises. See the next verse. Look at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. Now, to be engaged, pledged to be married, is about a year-long process. Things have been going very well between Joseph and Mary. But then, before they came together, that means before they had sex, before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. There goes a very unpleasant surprise for Joseph. He didn't know about the Holy Spirit. Mary's turned up from her 3-month away with presently supplies Elizabeth, her cousin, who's also expecting a child. And it's very obvious that Mary's got a bump. And Mary says to Joseph, "We've got to talk." And Joseph says, "We certainly do. We haven't, and I'm not the father, and you're the Holy Spirit? Come on." It was an unpleasant surprise for Joseph. He thought things were going well. And we see in verse 19, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, because any unfaithfulness when you're engaged meant it's got to be the end and should have divorce. Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. And so the best thing for Mary was for him to divorce her, because that way she was free to then marry the husband of the child. And if he married Mary, it was saying that it was his child. He would have to go through all that shame and that losing face. In their very small environment of Nazareth, everyone would have known. So he has a plan that he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, though. He could have made a big thing of this. "I'm going to get divorced to this woman who's pregnant to somebody else." She says, "The Holy Spirit." And he could have put it on Twitter, he could have on Facebook, he put it on all those first century equivalents, and even had her stoned to death. Rare, though it was in the first century, but he could have done it. He could have made it a big public thing. But instead, notice what he does. To this unpleasant surprise, he acts in a very gracious way, because he is a righteous man, and he's compassionate and caring and merciful. So the smallest way he could have divorced someone was to get two witnesses just to write something, and that was the end of their engagement. But he chooses not to. He chooses quietly to divorce her rather than make a big thing. Here is an appropriate response to an unpleasant surprise, particularly when someone else does it to you. The gracious response, the righteous response, is to let's make the least of it. Let's not make a big thing. Let's do the best in a bad situation. There's another unusual surprise then comes Joseph's way when he's made up his mind to divorce Mary. Look at verse 20. After he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife." Now, he's probably afraid both of the angel and certainly of the shame. And the angel, well, he's scared, and this is just a dream, though. But of the shame of taking Mary as his wife that would go on for the next 6 months and then after that, I actually thought maybe it's gracious that God sent them to Bethlehem and then to Egypt to be away from all that gossip until later they could come back. God acts in gracious ways in unpleasant circumstances too, unpleasant surprises. Anyway, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what's conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." It's true, Joseph. It's not by human intervention through sex where she's having a child. It's not by the Holy Spirit having sex either. It's by the power of God. And hey, this is God we're talking about. He can do it. So Joseph, don't be afraid. And we see at the end of the passage, verse 25, that Joseph gave the child the name Jesus. That's the legal process of him adopting Jesus. "I name him Jesus." Pleasant and unpleasant surprises. But we see in the rest of the passage that it's both a surprise and not a surprise, the birth of Jesus. Okay, the next slide, thanks. Verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. Matthew's telling us, this is the long-waited-for one, the one promised for way back in Adam and Eve's day that will crush the serpent's head. He's finally come. And in verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah, 700 years before. This is the one you've been waiting for, Israel. This is the one you've been waiting for, Joseph and Mary. This is the one the world's been waiting for. He's finally come. It's just that it's taken over 700 years, and so it is a surprise that it's finally come. Also notice verse 21, which is a surprise. She, Mary, will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. That's the Greek name for Joshua, the Hebrew name. He would have been called Joshua at home by mum and dad and his brothers and sisters. And Joshua means God saves. How does God save? Well, God will save his people from their sins. If you were going to rescue the world, how would you do it? Education, economics, power? Would it be through environmental protection? Someone once said, helpfully, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been war, God would have sent us a general. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, and so God sent a Saviour, Jesus, the one who would save us from our sins. And there's one more amazing surprise. Verse 23, the Virgin Mary will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Christianity, of all the religions in the world, says God has come like us. And he's not only become like us, he's still like one of us at the throne of heaven. He's like us. He's got hairy arms, scaly skin, sweaty armpits, smelly shoes, feet. He goes to the toilet. He's human like us. Judaism and Islam say that's impossible for it. That's a blasphemy that God would become like us. But that's the amazing God that we have. He is like us. He understands our life. He understands our struggle. He understands both the pleasant surprises and the unpleasant surprises. How do we respond to God's surprises? Both the pleasant ones? Do we thank God for the good gifts that he gives us, the wonderful experiences that we have? Do we? And when they're unpleasant surprises, how do we respond? Paul Tripp has wrote a helpful article on the surprises of God. Here's a quote from him. One of the reasons we struggle with the unwanted, the unexpected, the unpleasant surprises is that we human beings tend to focus on the outcomes. We just want life to go on really well and then we'll be successful at the end. But God, who cares about the end, he also, though, cares about the journey on the way, the process, because that is what faith is about. It's a process. It's not an end in itself. It's learning to trust, like Alex had to trust that he wasn't going to get too wet and that Carol really was trustworthy. Just as Joseph had to believe that the angel was saying what he was saying was true, and he had to trust God in this unpleasant surprise of finding himself to a pregnant, but, well, he wasn't the father, woman. God cares about the process. But our struggle is the struggle of saying, I want things to go my way, which is what our sin is. Not God's way. I think I know what's best for my life. We know what's best for my life, not God. He knows a little bit of good for us, but we know the best. And that's why it's a struggle when he sends us unpleasant surprises. And you see that in every character of the Bible, don't you? Joseph and Mary is one, as a couple, who are given all these amazing surprises, unlooked for, unexpected, unplanned. Certainly not what they would write for their history, their future. But God has an even better plan for them and for us through them. Because that's our struggle, isn't it? Our struggle is with ourself and my kingdom, not God and his kingdom. That's why we as pseudo sovereigns think we want life to be without hiccup, without difficulty, without problem. That's not life, how life goes. And that's why we need the good news of Christmas. We go to the next slide, thanks. Christmas says, ask the question, what kind of God is this? The God would take on skin and hair and freckles and hunger and thirst and tiredness and struggling with anger, struggling with love and struggling with obedience and being willing to be rejected, knowing loneliness and suffering pain. All the things that we suffer. What kind of God is this? He's the kind God, the loving God. So that when we go through the struggles of life, the unpleasant surprises, we know that he's with us. We know that he knows what it's like. We see in Matthew's gospel, Emmanuel, God with us. We see at the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus, as he is ascending to heaven, says, I'm with you always till the end of the age. And in Hebrews, he will never leave us nor forsake us. He's there with us through the process. He's there helping us through the process. In fact, the process of struggling in the unexpected surprises, the unwanted surprises, the unpleasant surprises, is that surprise of faith at the end. Where we're heading is so much better than where we are now. But it takes a process of trust, of working out our hopes and our dreams for our life may not always be what God wants. Which is even better, which is an even greater hope than what we would have. But we struggle in the tension. And that's why Christmas says how loudly and joyfully and how wonderfully that God has come among us. The kind God has become like you and me to help us through the struggle of life. Happy Christmas, everyone. Let me lead us in prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the joy of Christmas. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming among us and living our life, dying our death, bringing forgiveness, salvation from our sin, where we struggle against your plans and purposes, Father, where we have to admit we're not in control, but you are. Thank you that you are, Heavenly Father. Help us to trust you in the pleasant surprises and the unpleasant. And we ask this now and into 2017 and into our future, whatever that holds. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.